And to you all on the other side of the camera, hopefully we'll get through it this Sunday. As many of you know, we had a power outage in the middle of everything, and we didn't get to see you last Sunday, but we're back with the sermon titled, Come In and Rest. The scripture lesson is Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 10. I'm always telling blonde girl jokes, so today I'll mix it up a little bit. Three men were sitting on a high rise, and they was construction workers, and they was building it. And one of them was Italian descent, and one of them was of Mexican descent, and one was a blonde fella. And they were sitting there commiserating over their lunch, and the Italian said, if I open up that lunch today and I see spaghetti and meatballs, I am going to jump. And he popped his lunch bucket open, and in there was spaghetti and meatballs, and he jumped. And he fell to the ground, and he broke his leg. And the Mexican fella looked around for a moment, and he said, if I open up my lunch bucket today and I see tacos, I'm jumping. And he opened it up, and sure enough, there they were, and he jumped, and he broke his other leg. And the blonde fella looked down there, and he said, if I open up my lunch box today and I see a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'm jumping. And he opened up his lunch pail, and there it was, and he jumped. And he broke his leg. And they carted him to the hospital. And while he was in there getting worked on, the wives of these three men gathered up in the waiting room. And the Italian woman said, I don't understand it. I thought he loved spaghetti and meatballs. And the Mexican woman said, I don't understand it. I thought he loved tacos. And the blonde man's wife said, I don't understand it. He packs his own lunch. Somewhere I'm going to pay for that one. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. Do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought that you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought them some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set them before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked. There in the tent, he said. And the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. May God add his blessings to this passage as we seek him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are brought together today desiring to walk closer with your Son, mesmerized by your word and seeking to know it better. Father, we simply ask that you would guide us through this from your words, these words spoken today from you, Father, that will strengthen us and give us guidance in this week yet to come, reminding us of Jesus and his love. In his name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. It is that time of year. I just want to ask you something. Is there anything, almost anything, more better, and that's proper English, more better in this world than climbing into your chair or putting your feet up on the couch on a Sunday afternoon, on a cool weather Sunday afternoon, and resting? Is there anything more better? See, I said it again. I'm sure it's in the book somewhere. You know, I can rest real good. You know, I can rest sometimes almost to the point that you might think I'm asleep, but the truth of the matter is, I am simply checking the other side of my eyelids for holes. I don't often find them. One of my favorite memories when I was growing up from a little kid was going to my grandparents after church for Sunday dinner. Dinner! Not lunch, dinner. We ate supper later on. And there was always a spread, and aunts and uncles and cousins. And after the meal got done, the men in that family could really rest. They would all find their spots under the shade tree, or if we was in the house, they all seemed to find the closest place to the wood stove, and they did some serious resting. One of my favorite stories growing up was my grandparents on a Sunday afternoon after they had eaten supper, before it was time to go milk, had decided they was going to get in the car and ride out and visit. And they just left everything on the table. All the food from the meal, they just got up and left and did not lock the house. Because at a time of day, you didn't have to do that. And they came back, and my grandmother said, she remarked that there was a lot less food on the table than when they left. And they looked around and they realized that the chairs had been changed and some other things went on. And a couple days later, my grandfather's brother had been out visiting after supper or after church and wanted to come see them and came there and found nobody there, but they found the door open and they found the food on the table. So they went in, ate supper and rested. And I asked my grandmother, what did you think about that? She goes, the next Sunday I made extra. There is something to be said to resting, to taking a break. There's a story where two men challenged one another to an all-day wood chopping contest. All-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked as hard as anybody you've ever seen, stopping only to eat a bite of his sandwich at lunch. But the other man took breaks during the day, took a long lunch, even took a little nap underneath the tree. And at the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other fella had chopped substantially more wood than him. I don't get it, he said. Every time I checked on you, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did. And the winning woodman smiled at him for a moment and said, but if you had taken 5 minutes to notice what I was doing, every time I sat down to rest, I was sharpening my axe. But there is something more to come in and rest than just simply resting. There is something that we are challenged with to be. In the book series, Master and Commander, which was made into a movie called The Far Side of the World, I challenge that if you haven't read the books, read the books. And if you get a chance to see that movie, do it. The movie just completely captivates me. There is a scene in that movie when Captain Jack Aubrey of the Surprise, the HMS Surprise, they're sitting in the captain's quarters where they had been served a sumptuous meal. And as was the custom at the time in the British Navy, young lieutenants and young midshipmen were allowed the glory, if you will, to sit in with the captain and the first lieutenants and all the pulling salesmen and the quartermasters, all the big high hogs at the trough. They were allowed to sit down with them. And in this movie, a young midshipman asks about Captain Jack Aubrey serving under the magnificent Lord Viscount Horatio Nelson. And after he made a joke, and I quote this from the movie, he said the second time he told me a story about how someone offered him a boat cloak on a cold night as he wandered about on deck. And he said no, he didn't need it, for he was quite warm. His zeal for king and country kept him warm. I know it sounds absurd. And were it for another man, you'd cry out, oh, what pitiful stuff, and dismiss it as it were mere enthusiasm. But with Nelson, And in the movie, he turns to his first lieutenant, Calamay, and says, "You felt your heart glow. Wouldn't you say so, Mr. Pullings?" "Yes, indeed, sir. It did." Nelson was regarded as a highly effective leader, someone who was able to sympathize with the needs of his men, based his command on love and servitude and humility rather than authority, discipline, inspiring both his superiors and his subordinates with considerable courage. His style of leadership was dubbed the Nelson Touch and is still looked to today. He served with humility and was often known to tell his officers, "Take time to rest." Service. Just down the hall, down a series of steps, is a meal that had been laid out to honor service. But it's not truly to honor my service. It's not truly to honor a pastor's service. When we invite someone to come in and rest, we invite them to come in so that we might serve them and take them away from the horrors and the things that life surrounds. And we do that by learning what was shown to us. A lot of people read these first 10 verses, and I encourage you to go back. A lot of people read these first 10 verses of Genesis, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's when God and a couple angels showed up right on their way to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is the one where they're going to tell Abraham, after all these years, he's going to have a son, Isaac." And of course, we all know what happened. Isaac gets taken over to the woods because God wants to test him. But you're missing something if you walk away from those 10 verses without looking at it. Abraham saw them, realized who they were, but realized what was more important, that I serve as my God has taught me. A lot of people think they only stayed there one night. How many people, and you can't show me on that side of the camera, how many people in this room have been to a good old country butcher? Show of hands. How many people have done it almost all of your life? Now let me ask you a question. Was you able to butcher a hog or a cow in the space of about 2 hours and be done with it from start to finish? Because if you did, I want to go to your butcher. Because we started at 2 o'clock in the morning when I was growing up, and we never seemed to get done. How about when you go into the kitchen to bake a loaf of bread? Anybody in here ever bake homemade bread? Isn't that the greatest smell in the world at this time of year? You walk through that door and you smell that. Can you make a loaf of bread in 30 minutes? No. We read these words in here. "Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it." That means butchered it. That means got it ready to go and cooked it. "He then brought curds and milk." Curds and milk. Curds and milk. Anybody in here ever eaten cheese curds? Milk curds? Why? You got to fry them. That's the only way it's like a couple of years ago, I used to read about the old fellers when I was growing up. I like to drink a little buttermilk. I like to drink a little buttermilk. Let's get some buttermilk. And I grew up listening to that. So one day I'm in the store and I thought, I'm reaching an advanced age of 50 years old. Maybe it's time for me to drink some buttermilk. So, oh, you guys can hear this one coming 100 miles away, can't you? So I was all proud of myself. I picked out a quart of buttermilk or a pint, whatever it was. And I went home and I announced to my wife, "I'm going to start drinking buttermilk." And my wife went, and walked out of the room. And I said, "Pshaw." And I got a glass and I poured it full of buttermilk. And I sat down with a book and I stuck my pinky out with that glass and I said, "Now I got my book, I got my buttermilk. Glug, 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 glug." Oh my golly. I poured that stuff down the sink. What is wrong with people? And I look at this and I read about curds and I think, now I've got to go try curds. Not fried curds like you get at the store. But they brought out the best. And they prepared it in the moment. The men just didn't stay there overnight. The men stayed there and rested and made themselves ready. And Abraham, the father of all, humbled himself down and showed humility by being willing to serve. That, brothers and sisters, is the concrete core of the Christian faith, that we are able to come together and serve each other. That's what we mean when we say, come in and rest. Then they said to him, thank you. We're going to come back in a little while. When we do, Sarah will have a child. Of course, we know what happened next. She was back in the corner listening to all of it because she was there. Notice how I skated past having fun with that. And she laughed. And we go down just a little bit further. In verse 13, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Because of his ability to sit down and serve, he was blessed. But that's not why you do it. Humility is a perfect quietness of heart. It is for me to have no trouble, never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or sore or disappointed. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me. And when I am blamed or despised, it is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in, shut the door, kneel to my Father in secret, and be at peace, as in a deep sea of calmness when all around is trouble. It is the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ's redemptive work on Calvary's cross, manifested in those of his own who are definitely subject to the Holy Spirit, writes Andrew Murray, the great Christian writer. Down them steps waits a meal. It is not a meal for me. It is a meal for us. It's hard to believe sometimes that I think about it. That's 16 years ago. I stomped through that door back there and said to the waiting body of Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, who had never seen the likes of me, I'm here to preach. And they went, You know what I think? I think you all was too afraid to tell me not to. And I've said it 100 times, and the words still ring true in my head. They ring true every time I cross that threshold. Don't forget who you are. You are the servant. You are that one that teaches come in and rest. You are that one that serves. And thus we serve each other. And downstairs wait a meal. And everywhere you look, you can find where somebody has decided, I want to put forth at no gain to myself so that someone else may have comfort. And I have a great example. Would you all like to see the great example? Say yes, Pastor Paul.
Yes.
So we have somebody that cleans the church, and her name is Tammy. She's on the other side of the camera, and Tammy has no idea what's coming. And Tammy's face is turning red. Everybody look at Tammy. Ron's going, oh, this is good. I can't wait to see what happens. This is my pulpit. On this side of it, if you've never seen it, is a jumbled mess. I've got papers and handkerchiefs and a lighter. I've got some leftover communion bread and a piece of gum wrapped up in a wrapper. It's a nightmare back here. But Tammy cleans up the church and looks after things. And for the past many Sundays, I have taken note of what Tammy did down here in the bottom. Now, some time ago, Linda gave me this goofy golf club that looks like a great big old lion or gorilla or monkey or whatever. And somebody gave me an engineer's hat, and Tammy has set it so that it looks at me every Sunday like that. And every Sunday, I smile. And every Sunday, I think, that is just so lovely. That's come in and rest. When you invite someone to come know Jesus Christ and rest in Him, you give them that comfort. You give them that moment. You give of yourself, knowing that nothing is coming back, except for the fact that they will come to know Jesus Christ, our Savior. I chose to do this, and I know some people will go, "Ain't Christmas, Paul, my day, be quiet." I'd like to read a poem, and I know you'll know it once I get into it. It happened one day near December's end. Two neighbors called on an old friend. They found his shop so meager and lame, made gay with 1,000 bows of green. And Conrad was a-sittin' with face a-shined, when suddenly he stopped a stitch a-twine. And he said, "Old friends, at dawn today, when the rooster was crowing the night away, the Lord appeared in a dream to me and said, 'I'm coming, your guest to be.' So I've been busy with feet astir and strewing my shop with branches of fir. The table is spread and the kettle is shined, and over the rafters the holly is twined. Now I'll wait for my Lord to appear and listen closely so His steps I'll hear. As He nears my humble place, I'll open that door and see the look on His face." So his friends went home and left Conrad alone, for this was the happiest day he'd known. For long since his family had passed away, and Conrad had spent many a sad Christmas day, but he knew with the Lord as his Christmas guest, this Christmas would be his dearest and best. And so he listened with only joy in his heart, and with every sound he would rise with a start and look for the Lord to be at his door, like the vision he'd been given a few hours before. So he ran to the window after hearing a sound, but all he could see on the snow-covered ground was a shabby beggar whose shoes were torn and all of his clothes were ragged and worn. But Conrad was touched and went to the door and said, "I know you're frozen and must be sore. I have some shoes in my shop for you and a coat that'll keep you warmer too." So with grateful heart the man went away, but Conrad noticed the time of the day and wondered what made the Lord so late. How much longer he'd have to wait. When he heard a knock, he ran to the door, but it was only a stranger once more. A bent old lady with a shawl of black, with a bundle of kindling piled on her back, she asked only for a place to rest. But that was reserved for Conrad's great guest. But her voice seemed to plead, "Don't send me away. Let me rest a while on this Christmas day." So Conrad brewed her a steaming cup and told her to sit at the table and fully sup. But after she left, he was filled with dismay, for he saw the hours were slipping away and the Lord hadn't come as he said he would. And Conrad felt sure he'd misunderstood when out of the stillness he heard a cry, "Please help me, please help me, tell me, where am I?" So he opened his friendly door and stood disappointed as twice before. It was only a child who had wandered away and was lost from her family on Christmas Day. Again, Conrad's heart was heavy and sad, but he knew he should make the little girl glad. So he called her in and wiped her tears and quieted all her childish fears. Then he led her back to her home once more. But as he entered his own darkened door, he knew that the Lord was not coming today, for the hours of Christmas had passed away. So he went to his room and knelt down to pray and said, "Dear Lord, why did you delay? What kept you from coming to call on me? For I wanted so much your face to see." When a soft in the silence, a voice he heard, "Lift up your head, Conrad, for I kept my word. 3 times my shadow crossed your door. 3 times I came to your lonely floor. I was the beggar with bruised cold feet, and I was the woman you gave something to eat. I was the child on a homeless street. 3 times I knocked and 3 times I came in. each time I found the warmth of a friend. Of all the gifts, love is the best, and I was honored to be your Christmas guest. A simple meal put on by simple hands, made to comfort, made to bring rest, made to show love. Today we are reminded simply that all we have to offer is a place to come in and rest. And that is the greatest gift that each one of us has been given by our Savior Jesus Christ when He gave His greatest come in and rest and died to save our sins. Brothers and sisters, my wife, my family, and I thank you for this honor of this day. But the truth of the matter is, we feel honored to be able to work with those who accept humility, those who accept the servant's heart, and those who realize we will never stop offering people as Christians a place to come in and rest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the joys that we have known. We thank you for the joys that you give us. We thank you for all the things that come our way. But Father, the most thing that we thank you for is your Son Jesus, who truly taught us what it means to have that place to come to and rest. Let us continue to serve in any capacity that we're able to do. Let us continue to lift up. Let us continue to speak of your Son, that all may know him and know that day when we will rest with him eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last hymn, as we come before that time, I would invite you that if you need to, the prayer bench is open. I am here to pray with you if you so desire. And as we always say to you on the other side of the camera, know our Jesus. And if you don't, find me or find someone who does and know him. Thank you and God bless.